Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Somewhere in Vegas. I am Mark with the Q. I am your host. I'm very privileged to have a couple of great filmmakers today. At the bottom of the hour, we'll be talking to Samantha Wan, who's the creator of Sudden Master. That's going to be at the Artemis Film Festival coming up this Friday. It's going to be filming. It'll be premiering at the festival. Over to kicking off the festival with my movie and Young Roy as well, my documentary, on Friday. So we'll be talking to Samantha at the bottom of the hour. But right now we're on the line with the executive producer of Grandma's House, which is a really inspirational story about this woman in Milwaukee, who this great person in Milwaukee, who wound up being kind of the grandmother to the streets, as it were, fostering so many kids and really being an influence to them as well. We have the executive producer of the film, Kimberly Zulkowski. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right, Kimberly. Welcome to the show.
You did great. Thank you so much. Yes, you pronounced it perfect.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I mean, you know, we were talking before we came into the show about, you know, Milwaukee, and it's interesting to say the least that we haven't seen very many productions as of late from the Milwaukee area. Obviously, Chicago's not very far away, but tell me a little bit about Milwaukee. You obviously grew up in Milwaukee, and your production company's based out of there. But you know, just tell us a little bit about shooting in Milwaukee and engulfing this area in terms of this film.
Yes, absolutely. Milwaukee is a hidden gem as far as talent goes. We are becoming a larger city, not quite as large as Chicago, but we have some amazing talent here. And opening up this production company, I realized just how much local amazing talent there is here and that it is undiscovered. So during Grandma's House, we didn't feature any local talent in Grandma's House this time around. We did get all A-list actors from Hollywood, but we are going to full circle back around with our next movie, and we're going to grab some local talent from Milwaukee to kind of get that hometown feel for our next movie, which is Colorblind, that we're going to be shooting sometime in June and July.
Yeah, and I mean, just as a venue, as a place to shoot as well. I mean, I was talking. I mean, I've talked to many filmmakers about shooting at their, at their hometowns, and it's always interesting to hear, their perception of what their hometown is versus what the national perception is in terms of their hometown. What's it like just physically shooting there in Milwaukee and to be able to shoot such a great city?
Well, it was very nostalgic shooting here, especially shooting in my grandmother's neighborhood, which is where we did a lot of our aerial shots. We shot her old home, the old neighborhood, just returning back to that was emotional, and it was also a sense of accomplishment because my grandmother grew up in the rough side of Milwaukee, the inner city area, and when we showed up with our camera and our film crew, the little kids were sitting on the porch and they said, "Why are you guys here? Nothing good comes from this area," and it was pretty sad to hear them say that. And I said, "That's not true. I came from this area. I actually came from this house that you're sitting on this porch, and we're making a movie." And so when we told them that, they became so full of life and got very excited that something that this big could be happening in their neighborhood. And that's another reason why we decided to premiere in Milwaukee versus Hollywood, so that foster children and underprivileged youth could come and experience a red carpet event with celebrities that they wouldn't necessarily otherwise have the opportunity to do. So this was a very personal film. We did do some shooting in Hollywood, but this was a very personal film. It's very much a Wisconsin-based film, and you do get that Wisconsin feel throughout the movie. And it's something that I'm hoping that our city can be proud of and we can get on the map for something other than our dropout rate and our crime rate, which is astronomical right now.
Now, let's dig into the story and a little bit about the background. This story is based on a real life person, and tell us a little bit about how the story came about and about the lead character, and there's a little bit about the story and where Grandma's house is coming from.
Sure, absolutely. The story is based off of my grandmother's life, Marjorie Harris, the late Marjorie Harris. She was the matriarch of her community. She took in tons of foster children. She took in homeless people. She took in battered women. She helped feed the homeless. She was a minister, had a jail ministry for over 30 years. She did so much in the community to try to make a difference. And I wanted to honor her with my first feature film by recreating the story of her life and bringing in some of the individuals that she helped along her journey in this life. So it was a film to kind of a walk down memory lane of her life, if you will, and the impact that she had on other people.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to see that there are those individuals that, are, like I said, the grandmother or the mother of the neighborhood, the person that, everybody kind of goes to for help or, has an, understanding ear what's been going on there as well. I mean, how has it been for her to be, for her to have been, that person in that community? And tell us a little bit about the impact that she's made in terms of, of her life and the ability to, like I said, basically be the person that everybody kind of looks up to. And, some of the stories that you may have heard from some of the people that she has helped throughout the years.
Well, she helped a lot of people to get off of substances. She helped a lot of families stay together, a lot of husbands and wives stay together just by her studying with them, counseling them, talking to them. She definitely curbed a lot of the street and gang violence in our community. If something, some drug transaction or anything was going to go down in our community, it wasn't going down on her block or in front of her home. She created a safe haven for her home where everyone was welcome. It didn't matter what ethnicity you were, didn't matter what gang affiliation you were. You came into her home. You were a part of her family. You were going to abide by the rules. You were going to love everybody, and you were going to receive love. And I feel like that's something that's strongly missing in today's society. People are afraid to get involved. And my grandmother was never afraid to get involved. She would always get right in the middle of things and in the middle of arguments that had nothing to do with her, in the middle of fights, in the middle of anything she saw that was not right. She got right in the middle of it, and she would tell them, this is not right. We are supposed to love each other. We're human beings. You're better than that. I know you're better than that. What is it going to take for you to not do this? And people would actually listen to her. They would actually cry and tell her her problems, and they would listen and they would change their life. And it was amazing to see that. And it's really been incredible doing a lot of these interviews, especially in my hometown with the radio. We had a call in, and there were people who were calling in that I did not know, and they were telling me about my grandmother before I was born and how my grandmother had helped them and had helped raise their children and helped them out of terrible situation. So the community as a whole, the aldermen, the mayor, judges, they all know my grandmother very well because she left such an imprint in the city of Milwaukee for over 60 years.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's just great to be able to see somebody like that really just, be the voice of a community. It's great to be able to hear that as well. What was it, like for you to have, have such a great cast in front of you working with it and their reaction to getting the script in their hands and reading it for the first time?
Oh, the cast was absolutely amazing. They loved the script. I got nothing but positive feedback from the script. a lot of people told me that they were privileged and honored to be able to be a part of this movie, and they actually thanked me. Miss Loretta Devine thanked me for including her and wanting her to, because she played my grandmother, wanting her to play that role, and she told me that it was just an amazing role for her to play, and it was the chemistry amongst the cast was so wonderful at the table read alone that we knew we were going to have some great filming days because they came ready at the table read. They were just ready to go. They were reading in character, and it was so much chemistry and so much power in the room that it's a must-see movie. It's a truly, truly great movie. It's not your typical sappy, real life movie. This is a great movie. It has something for everyone. There's drama, there's comedy, there is very serious scenes. It's going to remind you of your grandmother and days in grandma's home. It's going to remind you of just wanting to be a better person and just how one act of kindness goes such a long way.
Now, you know, you got Paul Hanna to direct this. Can you tell us a little bit about being able to choose him to direct this story and, some of the relationship between you and him, in terms of this film, because obviously you're the producer of the film, he's the director, and, there's a kind of a collaboration between you two in terms of the direction the movie is. But tell me a little bit about how Paul got involved, and tell me a little bit about the relationship that you had with Paul throughout for this process.
Yes, I met Paul Hanna at the American Black Film Festival in New York in June. By July, he and I had set up a meeting to meet and talk in California. And by October, we were filming our movie. So our relationship developed just that quickly. Paul was wonderful to work with. He's an amazing director. He's a very fast-paced director. So you're not going to do more than two or three takes on any one given scene because he knows what he's doing and he knows what he's looking for. So he really cranked out a beautiful job. I couldn't be happier with his work as a director. He was amazing. Really great.
Yeah, and having a great cast like that, to have that ability to get some really good cakes out of them really, really quickly does help in the long run as well. I mean, because you had an experienced cast with a lot of the people that were a part of it. It's just unbelievable to be able to see some of these names that are on there as well. I mean, Loretta and Coco Jones and Paige Hurd and, a bunch of the people that were part of this movie as well. You had a really good cast here, and we were talking a little bit earlier about the fact that your next movie is going to be with a lot of local talent. Did you have any local talent involved in this movie at all?
The only local talent we had involved in this movie was my three children. It was they did their acting debut in this movie. Isaac, Jacob, and Chloe, they're 14, 12, and 8. And I'm not being biased here when I say they did an amazing job. They really, really did. They did a great job. So they were the only local talent that I had.
Yeah, I mean that's great to hear. I mean, it's great to hear. Do you think that they got the acting bug? They got the acting bug off of this. Do you think that they'll act a little bit more and some of your movies, or maybe they'll go off to Hollywood one day?
Yes, they were so excited to act in this movie, and especially when they saw themselves on the big screen. So they definitely immediately got addicted, and they're ready to shoot the next movie. They're ready to be in Colorblind. So that is my signature trademark as a movie producer, is that my children will be in every movie that I do. So they'll always have some scene in it, and they're excited about that as well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's great to be able to hear that as well. Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, and you did the debut in Milwaukee, and obviously it seemed like the debut went very, very well. The community came out and supported you as well there as well. What does that mean to you to have so much community support in terms of this film? Obviously you said that you told me before we went on air that, you're basing your production company out of Milwaukee, and what does it mean to have the support of the community to be able to work with so, you know, so many working with a lot of people out of Milwaukee, even off screen, you know, with this movie, and you know, getting the reaction that you did with the Milwaukee premiere.
Yeah, it feels great, and it means a lot to me because Milwaukee is my home, and I'll never forget where I came from. And I love my city, and I think that we need more positive outlets in this city, and we're hoping to be an avenue for, you know, aspiring actors and actors to join us in this journey that we're on. This is really a community-based production company. So to have the community involvement and to have the community support, it's very special, and it means a lot to me as a filmmaker. I couldn't do it
now,
without them.
Well, let's go back to talking a little bit about your career. I mean, how did you get started in filmmaking you know, in producing?
Well, filmmaking and producing is something that I've always wanted to do, but I considered it something that would come years later. I actually am in child welfare and home health care. Those are my professions, and that is what my degree is in. But I've always liked to write stories and tell stories, and I've had such a interesting life that I feel that someone out there can glean something from the things that I've been through in my life. And so I told my husband, I think I want to start putting, you know, my experiences to film. And he was 100% supportive and said, why don't you go ahead and do it? So I got online, started researching film festivals, and just so happened that next week was the American Black Film Festival. And I went to it, and the rest, you know, is history.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just coming out of the gate and being able to do a film like this, and I mean, it's you know, it's no way it's cheap at all. And, you know, I'm coming from the fact that I've also made a couple films myself. How was it for you, that experience, first of all, to be able to raise the funds to make this movie and get a really great cast in front of you, you know, and, you know, just in some of the stuff that you learned during the process?
Well, it was great. I mean, I learned that, you know, I ask, and the worst that a person can say is no, right? So I know that we didn't have the budget that, like, you know, Loretta Devine or Wendy Raquel Robinson or some of the other A-list actors normally work with, but I wasn't afraid to ask them because I felt like, what's the worst that could happen? So I asked, and they believed in the script, and they joined in, and I was very, very grateful for that. I did not have any other investors aside from my husband and myself, which we saved, and went into that, our savings, and we decided to do a Hail Mary and put it all in there and see what happens. Let faith do the rest, and that's what we did. And we're very excited. We have absolutely no regrets. We're excited that we did it, and we're ready for more.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very much in the same boat. I mean, I mine was probably a little bit lower budget than yours was. It was just, it's just through, you know, just saving and getting my story across, you know, and I know that I'm not going to make millions of dollars off of my movie, but I know that I'm happy that I've done it, did the process, and to be able to tell my story. And I'm pretty sure you're in the same boat as well. In
yes.
terms of your movie, you know, you at least you got that thing out there as well.
Right.
And, you know, I think you have a really impressive product too. Actually, it looks pretty slick. Obviously we had the director. Did the director pick the guy that was shooting it? I'm assuming he did.
Yes, he did. Who shot the movie, and also Chris Roth, who the editor. So Paul Hanna did pick those guys. Yes. And
okay,
and
awesome.
I'll tell you, when I stood at that premiere and I stood up and I gave my little emotional speech, and I saw the faces of our foster children, some still children, some adult foster kids, and you know, they the way that they looked and the joy in their face to see this movie brought to their hometown, I felt like I was already paid back. So anything that comes after that is extra. Because you can't put a price tag on being an influence on someone's life. So it was definitely worth it for me, for that alone.
Yeah, you know, I'm interested to see what kind of release you do get on this. You know, you mentioned Milwaukee, and then you just told me before we went on air, Corvina is probably one of the theaters that's going to be picking it up as well. I'm hoping AMC is usually really good about opening different kinds of movies to different parts of their theaters. So hopefully you'll get somewhat of a limited release in terms of the movie overall, and get it around the country before maybe you'll get a nice little deal for DVDs and all that as well. And we'll see what kind of goes down. I mean, I think that it's a really great inspirational story, and I think it'll pick up some pace. So hopefully that'll happen soon. Coming in the next couple of weeks or in a couple of next couple of months or so. But So it's still playing in Milwaukee. Is it still playing in Milwaukee at all?
We actually, our national release is April 29th, so we have not released yet. When we do release,
okay,
we're releasing 16 cities, and Chicago is one of those, Atlanta, California. So we release on the 29th, and then we'll see how that first weekend goes. And then on Tuesday, of course, AMC will decide, you know, whether they're going to put it in more theaters or how they're going to move forward with it. So we're hoping we have a huge turnout on the 29th that weekend, so that AMC will go forward and put it in more theaters.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, again, it's an inspirational story. I think it's really great to be able to see, your vision. I know I was really proud when my vision came up to, on the screen. And I'm pretty sure that was probably one of the proudest moments of your life, maybe outside of, of your kids. But
right.
it's a great thing to be able to see as well. Colorblind, you said, you're just starting to cast there, and you're starting to get that kind of going as well. Anything else you want to promote? Anything else you want to add?
No, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be on your show and to talk about Grandma's House. I think you're going to love it when you see it. So feel free to have me back on anytime, and we can definitely talk about that and as well as upcoming projects. But right now, just excited about the release of Grandma's House, April 29th. At a city near you.
Yeah, and I want to mention, you guys can check out Grandma's House on social media. I believe, I'm trying to look it up real quick, at Grandma's House 16 on Twitter. Are you guys on Facebook at all?
We are on Facebook. We have a Grandma's House Facebook fan page. We have a Miss Kim Production Facebook fan book page. We also have a website, grandmashouse.film, and misskimproductions.com, and we are on Instagram, and I think you already said Twitter. So we're all over the social network. We're all over. So
Yeah, that's great. And I really, and I believe the website will probably have the dates of the cities in which we'll be able to see the premiere of of Grandma's House.
We do have
the 16 cities. So
that's correct.
So I mean, best of luck to you coming up with the limited release coming up at the end of the month, and best of luck to the Colorblind. I will look forward to hopefully when you get that finished, we'll get you back on and start promoting that.
Thank you. That will be wonderful. And best of luck to you on your endeavors as well.
Thank you. And I wanted to mention, I mean, have you ever been to Sundance at all?
Actually, I'm going in January, so it'll be my first time going. And that's where
I went last year. I wasn't able to go this year just because my film actually debuted the same weekend. It's a fun time. You get to meet so many great people and all that as well. If I end up going to Sundance this coming year, I'll definitely try to track you down and say hi at least. It's great to be able to experience that scene. It was a really fun time for me, and I know you'll have a fun time too. So, and you can connect so much with so many people. So, if we don't talk about Colorblind before then, we'll definitely talk hopefully next year at Sundance.
Okay, we sure will. Thank you so much.
No problem, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you. Have a great day.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye. That was Kimberly Zulkowski. Grandma's House, like she said, is going to be in limited release, I think, May. They said May 29th weekend. You guys can check out grandmashouse.film, and she'll have the cities open for the AMC theaters. AMC theaters have always been kind of open to the independent film market, which is really, really great. Some of these big charity chains don't do that for people, so it's kind of sucks. Excuse me, beside as well. So yeah. So make sure you guys definitely check that out as well. We got a couple minutes. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna play a little music, and then when we get back, Samantha Wan will be on with us. Samantha will be talking a little bit about her movie, her short movie, Sudden Master, which is actually gonna be, it's a YouTube series as well. And we'll be talking about that because me and her are actually going to be debuting our films to open up the Artemis Film Festival coming up this Friday at noon in Los Angeles. If you guys are in the Los Angeles area, please go to artemisfilmfestival.com and you guys can check that out as well. But you know what? Samantha's going to be on with us momentarily because she called in early. How you doing, Samantha?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
No, not a problem at all. It was enjoyable because we were over at the Paso Garage last night. We did some talking there, and it was great to be able to be on Paso's show. But I really wanted to get down and ask some of my own questions to you, Samantha. And you know, we've been talking to each other for the past couple of weeks ever since we've been announced that we're going to be a part of the same block and we'll be kicking off the Artemis Film Festival. So really excited to physically meet you on Friday, but definitely have been talking to you off and on Twitter, which has been really great as well. So, you know, it's great to be able to hit some time with you, sit down and talk to you a little bit about Sudden Master,
yeah,
which is absolutely great. I mean, the way that you described it was really interesting last night. Just for the people that didn't catch Paso's show last night, tell us a little bit about what Sudden Master is, a little bit about the plot.
Sure thing. So it's a coming-of-age story with a kung fu throwdown. It's about a young girl who inherits her father's martial arts school and then has to defend the family name. And it's kind of inspired by my own time as a martial artist and my own struggles with tradition and a practice that I've had in my own life as well. And it kind of has a sort of Scott Pilgrim, Kill Bill type of feel for people who kind of love those genres.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big fan of Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I love it. So many 80s references, 80s, 90s references in that movie, video game references. I'm an old schooler. I love like the Nintendo, and I went even back to the Atari days, if you can think back to then. So yeah, I was a real fan. So I'm interested to see it for the first time on Friday. You mentioned that you have martial arts training. Tell us a little bit about that, your martial arts training.
Sure. Yeah. So I train Wing Chun, which if anyone's familiar with the Ip Man movies with Donnie Yen, Ip Man is my great grandmaster. My sifu right now, his name is Sunny Tang. And I've been seriously doing it for maybe 4 or 5 years now, but it's been in my family for years. I'm a fourth generation martial artist, and it's definitely changed my outlook, I think, on life and particularly my culture to kind of be finally to embrace something. I'm Chinese Canadian, that I really feel quite proud of. But when I was young, felt a little bit resistant to, as many kids do, to things their parents try to make them do.
Yeah. Now, obviously it kind of rubbed off on you, you know, doing what you're doing now. But you know, was that bugging you early on when you started watching some of these martial arts films?
Yeah, I think even though I didn't do it when I was little, I still did a lot of movement. I was a dancer. I did a little bit of gymnastics, and just being so in tune with your body was something that I think is in me. And watching Jackie Chan, I love him so much. Watching his films, particularly because of the comedy aspect as well, I really connected to.
I think the first, well, I mean, well, second, the second Jackie, the first Jackie Chan movie I ever saw was when he did that cameo in Cannonball Run, Run 2. But the second movie I've ever seen of him was a movie called The Big Brawl. I'm not exactly sure if you've ever seen that movie. It was an American movie, actually. It was American produced, but Jackie Chan was in it. And I was, you know, I was really impressed with Jackie back then. And this was back in the 80s when he did this movie. Yeah, it's interesting to see him now and see how much he's a superstar now, and see how he was back in the day, that he wasn't really a major star, but people kind of knew who he was. Some people did. I mean, I think Cannonball Run is basically the biggest movie he was in before Super Cop, I think, was the first one where he kind of broke out in terms
right.
of that. But, you know, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's interesting to see his career kind of rise. And, you know, I was familiar with who he was. So, yeah, I mean, that was, he's a really cool guy. And he does his own stunts. I think a lot of people, you never used to do their own stunts, but now we're seeing a lot more people do their own stunts. So, very interesting to say the least.
Yeah, I think it's becoming kind of important. It's like singer-songwriters. Singers are writing their own songs. Maybe fighters are doing their own fights. And like, I think what I loved about Jackie Chan's style was he was one of the performers who, you know, when he hit something, he would show that it hurt. Like, and that you wouldn't do it perfectly the first time, or that he would mess up. Whereas before, I think a lot of martial arts films, though I love them, like I love Bruce Lee, Jet Li, and where everyone, they were a little bit like superheroes, where Jackie Chan, you'd punch someone and it hurt. Like, it, you'd mess up. And I think there's a little bit of that in my character in Sudden Master as well, which I do all my own stunts, and boy, is it hard. But it was really fun.
Yeah, those outtakes that he does, I mean, and he shows at the end of the movies, it shows that, you know, yeah, it's never going to be perfect, you know? I mean, it's mm-hmm. you know, sometimes he does mess up a little bit. He gets injured. A lot of times, you know, they show where he's, like, you know, just flat on his back, you know, unconscious, and people are like, you know, going in to check on if he's okay or not, you know? And that's crazy, you know? He's like... he's the Chinese equivalent of Evel Knievel, basically.
Yeah.
He's probably broken every single bone in his body. But speaking of, yeah, go ahead. Can you say something?
Oh, yeah, no, I was going to say, and they usually take about a month maybe to film one of those big fight scenes that you see that happen like in a city or something like that. And for us on Sudden Master, we have about maybe 6 fights, and we had 3 days to shoot all of them. And it was a lot of fighting. We were definitely, I particularly, because I'm fighting in all of them, was fighting about 13 hours a day for 3 days straight, and was very tired.
Yeah, you know, with me, I mean, I had another film that, you know, I mentioned last night. I had another film that didn't make the festival. It was an MMA movie. I really didn't have very much time to shoot my fight scenes, and that's, my biggest regret in the movie, that is, I didn't have enough time to shoot those fight scenes. If I had to do it all over again, I would have simply just rented a cage and just got it done that way. Because I was using friends, you know, promotions thing, and it's, oh, we only have so much time to shoot it. So I could only shoot very, very short fight scenes. You know, these were maybe 20, 30 seconds fight scenes. which made it in, and you know, all that as well. But I mean, that was my only thing. But I know I learned a lot from trying to shoot my first fight scenes. You know, I knew how they were kind of going to go in my head, but you know, like I said, I was in a hurry, and there are certain things that I think I would have done a little bit differently. But I mean, tell me a little your experience about doing that in terms of shooting your first fight scene and some of the things that you've learned in terms of, you know, of doing that portion of it.
Well, I was very lucky because my stunt coordinator and the other fighters, cast members, were very seasoned stunt professionals. So they really helped guide me through it from rehearsals down to the pre-visualizations. And for any listeners who don't know what that is, that means that we shoot we literally take a camera and we shoot the fight that we're going to be, that's going to be in the movie, but we do it without the set and without the costumes, just so that the camera people know the angles that they're going to be shooting at, and also so the fight director can see, with an editor cutting it together, what it's going to look like. And that was a huge step for us to try to do those previses beforehand, which really helped then on the day when we were shooting at the location to know, oh, okay, well, we only need, like, this angle from this move to this because we cut it out, and then we need this angle from this to this, so we didn't end up doing the fight a billion times. It really was like, all right, punch, cut, next, all right, kick, cut, next, which helped us be a lot faster. I feel like that was the hugest thing I learned. Also working, I specifically was also training, I think, about 3 months in advance, about every day with my martial arts sifu, practicing the choreography, and I'm a dancer, so I already kind of knew how that worked. But that was a lot of work as well, and I'm very inspired by all the other stunt professionals, and very excited to be meeting them at Artemis this year.
Yeah, you know, it's great. It'd be great to be able to meet some of those people. I know, like I said, quite a few fighters are going to be there as well, you know, that are making the transition over into movie making. And I have there's a video out there of Gina Carano in showing how she was learning how to do combat training and do her stuff. I think it was for Haywire, if I'm not mistaken. She was learning how to stunt fight, which is, you know, a little bit different than in learning how to fight on its own, you know. So it's kind of interesting to see that aspect of some of the fighters, you know, making that transition over to doing their own stunts in movies and acting and all that as well. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting, and I'm really interested to see who else shows up.
Yeah, I think it's so – that was one of the hard things, too, actually, was changing it so that you're not actually hurting anyone when you hit them, because your body is naturally – you do the training so that you don't have to think about it when you punch, that you want your punch to be effective. But when you're doing it for stunts, you have to be like, oh, I actually want my punch to be not effective at all. I don't want to hit this person. And, like, it's almost like a rewiring in your brain. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I think part of it too is the way you shoot it, because I know a couple of times we did some fight choreography, and if you shoot it right, it looks like it hits, but you know, if you shoot it at another angle, it looks like, you know, you obviously missed by a mile. And I know we had an incident, I think, on set where somebody did get hit accidentally in terms of the fight coordination. I don't know if that happened on set with you.
Yeah, I accidentally – so we did a lot what you said, where we used angles where no one was coming at even close to hitting anyone. But there are some angles that you'd have to make contact so that it looks cool. And one, we had a ninjutsu practitioner, an actual ninja. I was so excited by that in our part three of our film. And he accidentally – because he was a trained ninjutsu practitioner, accidentally stunned my hand with his foot. And it was like my whole arm kind of went numb for maybe a good 10 minutes. He hit me very lightly, thank goodness, because I can only imagine what would have been done if he'd used his full force. But yeah, that's the one that I think about when they're like, has there been any accidents on set? I was like, yeah, that one hurt a little bit.
Now, tell me a little bit about the leap from you know, being a fan, obviously a film buff, you know, back in the day to becoming a filmmaker. You know, was this something that you always wanted to do, you know, when you were younger? Was this something that you kind of decided a little bit later on that, hey, I want to become a filmmaker?
Been an actor kind of since high school, in the sense of I was in all the school plays and things like that. And then I was fortunate to get into the National Theatre School of Canada here up north, which is comparatively a little bit like Juilliard in the States. And I went there as an actor for 3 years. And then after I graduated, I just was acting and auditioning a lot. But as I mentioned, I'm Chinese-Canadian, felt like there wasn't a lot of content out there for people representing me. So that's how I kind of got into creating my own films from there, from just being in them to now actually writing for them and producing them. And it's been a really empowering experience. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, how is it for you to you know, kind of step back and be a director, you know, and to be in the director's chair? You know, for me, I mean, my story is that I, you know, in college, you know, I went in wanting to do business, and then I decided to change my major to film. And I for some reason, you know, in hindsight, I was like thinking, you know, hey, you know, well, you know, that made sense considering what I was doing before I went into college. But yeah, I mean, and then I just got back, you know, just recently got back in the director's chair, and it was a really great experience to be able to, you know, I didn't realize that I still had, you know, had the knack to be able to do that. And I was really, really good at it in terms of working with the actors and all that as well. But how's it for you to sit down and be in that director's chair and to be able to work with the actors and to be able to be, you know, to be the guy that or the girl that or the woman that calls the shot?
I love it. I mean, because I'm in Sudden Master, I did have another director actually with me. I was more producing, writing this one because I don't like to direct if I'm in it. But I have directed other things, and it's so great being an actor to be able to communicate with other actors, like, because I feel I know usually what they need or what notes are the most sort of helpful. But it's also when you're just an actor, sometimes you don't have very much control over what's going to happen. You're only there when you're shooting. You're not there before in the pre-production, and you're not there for the post-production. And it's such a rich time. Like, the pre-production is all the writing, and you're building the world, and then the post-production, you get to see it all come together, and you can change so much in the editing room and with coloring and music, and you get to make all those decisions. It's been really great to be able to call those shots. I mean, it's daunting, and I feel it's helped me have a surer sense of self to be able to be like, yes, I want it this way, even if you don't agree with me. But it's been a good ride.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Toronto itself is basically between there and Vancouver are basically the two filmmaking capitals of Canada. It's like New York and LA here in the States. And, you know, to see so many great productions that have gone on in Toronto, you know, and I think even more diverse, because I've had several filmmakers on here from all different types and ethnicities. I think, if I remember correctly, I had a guy that was a Sikh that did his movie up there in Toronto. But yeah, how's it for you to be able to film in Toronto and, you know, kind of work with the scene up there?
It's great. Toronto actually has quite a big scene up here. And as you mentioned, the diversity is very wide, and we're quite lucky in that we have, different government funding and grants to help us fund our short films and some of our features and our online series. So I've really enjoyed working in Toronto.
Yeah, you know, and also some musicians. I mean, it has a very good. There's so many great musicians up there, singers, songwriters, etc. You know, how is it for you? I mean, how is it for you to, as a director, to look at the music end of things? And tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, our music scene is amazing here. My boyfriend is in the indie kind of punk rock scene, and there's always something playing here every night. And in the summer, it's filled with a bunch of indie bands, which is awesome for films, of course, and awesome that you can bring and collaborate with other artists. In that way, it's really, Toronto has a great, great independent scene in film and in the music industry.
Yeah, did you use any music in Sudden Master, and did you collaborate with anybody in terms of that, in terms of the music?
Yes, we have an amazing composer called Adrian Ellis, and he kind of built this very kind of 80s inspired, as we were talking about Scott Pilgrim, type music for the film. And then our main piece, her name is Meja, and she actually lives in Hong Kong, and she's a Chinese rapper. And my director knew her and asked if we could use her song called The Warrior's Tongue. And I just love it. It's got a perfect mix of having sort of an ethnic feel, an ethnic background, as well as a very urban style sound.
Yeah, you know, in my documentary, I mean, actually the song at the end of the documentary, my documentary is actually a song that was originally written for my featurette that didn't make it into Artemis. And it was great to be able to, and that was a local talent, up in Montana when I was shooting up there. And I told her, can you write me an original song? And she said yes. So she has a song in my movie as well. So I'm glad that we have the opportunity to both of us have the opportunity to show some local talent and to be able to show some people that we may not have seen before. So it's great to be able to incorporate a community in terms of our movies.
Yeah, the independent community is vast, and I'm so grateful to collaborate with all different kinds of artists, visual artists, musicians, and filmmakers. It's really such a nice opportunity.
Yeah, you were talking about last night about, how Artemis came about. Can you go ahead and tell us a little bit about that for those who didn't listen to the PASO interview last night?
Sure, absolutely. So I heard about the Artemis Film Festival through another female Wing Chun practitioner, and she had a short, I think, in their first year that they opened. And she told me, you have to check this out. This is a festival dedicated to women in action. And we've been touring, Sudden Master's been touring the festival circuit for a while, but I've noticed how male predominant that category is. And so when there was a female action festival, I thought, this is it. This is where we have to go, because both our antagonists and protagonists are very strong women.
Yeah, I mean, it was great to be able to see, like I said, that AU got in, and some of the films that we've seen that have come into the festival, I think, is absolutely great too. Quite a few martial arts films in terms of the fiction genre, and then a couple of the documentaries. Mine's about Muay Thai kickboxing. And then we have a couple boxing ones, and then of course Fight Valley, which is MMA, which is absolutely great to be able to see that as well. I mean, are you hip into any of the female combat scenes like kickboxing or MMA or anything?
I'm more tuned into the kung fu world around here, but I feel like after Artemis, I'm going to try and be more into that, because even hearing about your film, which is she does 100 Muay Thai fights, I feel like that's an amazing accomplishment, and I'm so excited to meet the other fighters when I get down there.
Yeah, sorry to say Sylvie isn't going to be able to make it out, because she's in Thailand and she's getting ready. Actually, I think she's actually fighting in Singapore this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, she's on her way. I think I have to ask her again, but when I was talking to her on Skype a couple weeks ago, she said that she would have her 149th fight in, I think the 100, no, actually it was 149th fight overall, and then something like her 140th fight in Thailand come the festival. I'll have to ask her again about this, but we're hoping to get her on Skype, after the movie's over to take a couple questions. And I have never physically met Sylvie at all. We've kept in touch via Skype and interviews and all that as well. So it's going to be interesting for me to be able to do that. But There'll be quite a few really great fighters. I'm pretty sure you're going to enjoy meeting Serena De Jesus, who's a good friend of mine. She's going to be there. She's part of the Fight Valley, thing. So she'll be there. And there is, I think Misha Tate might be there. I know we've been in touch with each other, and she found out through me that the Fight Valley was going to be premiering. So she wanted more information from me, and I sent them to Melanie. So I'm hoping that that Misha, who's a big part of Fight Valley, is going to be there as well. And there is a huge rumor, and I was hinting at it at Passos, but I wanted to keep it for myself. The rumor is that Gina Carano is going to be there, which will be, I think is huge. I'm really excited. I've never physically met her before, but I've actually interviewed her before several years ago, back when she was in Strikeforce, was when I interviewed her. So, if she does end up showing up, I'm going to be very excited. I'm going to be totally fanboy on during that as well. But yeah, I mean, although I should have asked if it's like people like Cynthia Rothrock are going to be there, some of these legends that have been out there in the kung fu realm, in action realm for so long. So I'm interested to see who all shows up in terms of the community. I think it's going to be a big community, and I won't be surprised if some of the people that we might see over there. So I'm really excited. Anybody in particular that you would like to see at the festival, or hoping that maybe they may make an appearance?
I think I'm just so overwhelmed with all the potential of so many amazing just women together. I really can't name a specific name. I'm just so excited to have that much power in one room. And I think Friday night is going to be, like, with the awards and all the movies, is going to be amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be a little stretch for me and you, because as soon as our movies are over, they're doing the stunt panel, then they're doing the red carpet. For me, I have to go to my friend's house and really just change. I'm going to change from my outfit from the premiere to my red carpet outfit. And I'm pretty sure the gal that I'm escorting on the red carpet is going to need to change as well and get made up and all this as well. So I know it's going to be a little bit, I think it's only a couple hours in between, that as well. I don't know. Personally, I don't want to dress up in my red carpet outfit early and have to wait all the way straight through it. So I don't know about you, if that's the same situation with you.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it till you said that. I was like, you're totally right. There's going to be no time to do that, because there's so many amazing things happening after our screening that I'm like, when will I, change?
Yeah, stunt panel's right after us, and I'm going to have to skip that just so I can go ahead and just, change outfits. And I want to get something to eat before we head in. I mean, I don't know if I have to ask them if we're going to have dinner of some sort. I'm assuming we are going to be fed, at the mixer, but I don't know. We'll have to play it by ear. I know I'm getting in tomorrow. I'm leaving tomorrow morning. And I'll be there, tomorrow afternoon. I'm pretty sure you're pretty much the same way. Are you leaving tomorrow?
Yeah, I get in late tomorrow night. And so then I'll just be there the next day in the afternoon for the screening and everything.
Besides you, any of the cast going to be out there with you?
Unfortunately, no. It's a bit of an expensive flight for the rest of my team. But they're all very, very excited. And Casey Hudecki, who, as I mentioned on Paso Show, she's a star. She did the sword stunt doubling on Lost Girl, if anyone's familiar with that series. She's very excited that we're part of Artemis and is sending her support.
Well, that's great. I mean, I'm a fan of Lost Girl. I love the series. I had to catch up the last couple seasons, so I've been kind of out of the loop. But I also have some friends of mine that are in the women's mixed martial arts community that absolutely love that. So that's going to be great to hear. It's going to be a great time. I think we're going to have a lot of fun in terms of that. Yeah, and I'm flying in tomorrow, and I'll have some really fun people that are going to be there watching my portion. Watching our block. A couple comedian friends of mine are going to be in town, or in town. So I get to have them over, and some of Sylvie's friends and some acting friends of mine that are in the LA area, and some fighters that are in the area as well. So I'm interested, to see who all comes out for that. Hopefully we get a little bit of support from you guys as well. I mean, hopefully you'll have some local people that'll be showing up to support as well.
Yeah, I'm definitely bringing my boyfriend, and has been promoting to some of my friends in LA. And I don't know about you, but screenings always make me so nervous. I always feel a little bit sick in the beginning. I get so nervous, but I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm an odd bird in terms of that. You know, I don't really get nervous, and I just get excited, you know. I get excited to be able to be in front of people and to be able to talk a little bit about my movie and all that as well. I mean, I was a little bit nervous at the first premiere that I did for my other movie, but yeah, it'll be exciting to be able to be able to present in front of all those people as well, and to be able to kick off the festival. You know, I'll be there. I'll pretty much be there Friday and Saturday. And I'm flying back Sunday. I wish I could stay an extra day to catch the Sunday screenings, but I have to get back home. So I don't know about you, but that's for me. It's just I have to get back home to be able to work. And you know, I wish I could be filmmaking could be my full time job. So.
We'll have to probably be leaving this Sunday as well. But there are so many other amazing films that I would just encourage everyone to go check out, because it seems like it's going to be such an amazing weekend for everyone and for watching films.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If you can get a pass for all 3 days, please do so. Even if it's for 2 days, please do so. And I know our block is actually kicking off the festival, but it's also noon on Friday. So I said, you know, If you can skip work and watch some really great films, you know, this is a great excuse to do so. After our block is a really great stunt panel, and then you know, that night Fight Valley premieres, and a couple other movies. I cannot think of the top of my head what else. I just know Fight Valley because I know several of the stars of that movie very, very well. There's some really great talent that night. Paul Feig, who you guys may recognize as the guy who directed Bridesmaids and the upcoming Ghostbusters movie, he's going to be honored that night, and I'm really excited to meet him. And Moneymaker, really great stunt woman. Some of these stunt people are just, you know, if you don't know who these ladies are, I mean, you know, you've probably seen them in movies. You just don't realize it, you know. So and they do so much, and I wish that stunt people would get Oscars. It's stupid for them not to get Oscars in terms of their performances.
I know. Like, given what they do, it's so, so hard. That's why, like, I was so shocked because we recently won an acting award in the last festival we were in. But I feel like action shows, action films, rarely get recognized for the work that they do, other than being cool. And there's some great performances from people, which I can't wait to see.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, they put their lives on the line to be able to entertain people, and it's kind of ridiculous that they don't get that recognition. You know, if there's two things that the Artemis Film Festival are built on, is one is the fact that we need more female talent and female recognition in Hollywood in terms of major roles, action roles, and behind the camera. I'm a male behind the camera, but I try to use a female protagonist. And the other thing is the idea that stunt performers should be recognized a lot more for the work that they do. That's two of the keystones of what the Artemis Film Festival means. So. It's going to be very interesting to see all the people that are there, and I'm pretty sure their message is going to get put across, across the board. I'm really excited to be a part of this festival. I know you are as well. Now, any other projects going on after Sudden Master, that you're thinking about?
Yeah, I have a television show in development. It's a comedy, totally unrelated to action, actually. But it is about second-generation kids and their immigrant families. Unfortunately, I'm not allowed to talk much about it because I'm on an NDA, but hopefully you guys will be seeing it at some point. And I'm also doing a play. I'm acting in a play, but also writing one, and it's about the Chinese Cultural Revolution, which was a crazy time in history that nobody knows anything about. So that's going to be coming out in spring as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're working on our, I'm going to plug myself here. We're going to be working, we're working on a further project that right when I get back from Artemis, we're going to start filming. It's a really interesting movie, and I really can't explain it. It's really kind of, well, for one, it's a really crazy movie, and second, it's going to blow everybody's mind. But we're starting shooting on that when I get back from Artemis, and then sorry to say, it doesn't have a female protagonist, or else I'd be bringing that to Artemis next year. It's not going, it just isn't going to fit the mold, as it were. But as soon as that's over, I have an idea for a documentary, and I'll tell you about when I'm down down there at Artemis off air.
I can't wait to hear it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really cool idea for a documentary, and I think you'll love it. Now I'll tell you all about it when we're down there on Friday. Let's talk about, where people can catch Sudden Master. And obviously, Artemis Film Festival, even if you catch one block, if you catch our block, it's only $8. But I highly recommend you guys go ahead and get the pass, because there's so many great things going on. Even if it's the day pass for that Friday, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. But even just, you know, if you really want to have a lot of fun on the weekend, please do so. But, you know, obviously, ArtemisFilmFestival.com, you guys can get tickets there. If you're in the L.A. area, you know, it's going to be in Beverly Hills, really nice theater. I'm going to stop by real quickly tomorrow, as soon as I get my rental car, and just, you know, can I check out the theater myself? Please do so. Please get your tickets online. If you can't get it online, I'm pretty sure they'll have tickets at the door. Please do so there as well. So, social media, where they can watch Sudden Master.
So people, if they can't make it tomorrow, though, as Mark already said, I think it's going to be such a great experience, also with the stunt panel after us as well. But if not, you can go to www.suddenmaster.com, SUDDENMASTER, and you can see the film online there. Also, you can follow us at The Sudden Master on Facebook and on Twitter.
So, yeah, definitely check that out as well. It's going to be great. It's going to be great to be able to meet you in person finally on Friday. And, really look forward to meeting you in person. And, there's so many people that we're going to meet. I'm so excited about it as well. So, we'll definitely talk to you down in L.A. In the next couple of days. And safe travels from Toronto.
Thanks so much. I'm so excited to meet you, too, and hopefully everyone else there. All the best.
Yep. Yes, will do. Samantha, thank you, and we'll see you on Friday.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Samantha Wan, everybody. You guys can check her out. SuddenMaster.com. And then ArtemisFilmFestival.com to get the tickets to our block. Her film, Sudden Master, is going to be kicking off the block. And then my documentary in Young Roy will be following it. So it's going to be really great to be able to meet her in person as well. Speaking of Artemis, well, try to get some interviews recorded while we're down there. If I can get Paul Feig, you know, for a few minutes, just to say a little bit something about, about what she's doing, I will try to get it for you. There might be some really great actors and actresses that are down there and stunt performers I might be able to get a quick interview with. So I'm going to try to record some interviews, and I will relay them to you on this podcast coming up hopefully this coming week. And then I know there's a couple people in the queue that we need to get set up for interviews. So, we will get back to you soon on that as well. You guys should check us out at Somewhere in Vegas, at SWIV on Twitter, and Somewhere in Vegas on Facebook. If you guys are in the LA area, please go to the ArtemisFilmFestival.com. Ours is the very first block out of the gate, so if you can only go to one block, please go to ours. It's only $8 to be able to do that as well. Make sure, if you can go the weekend or the full day, please do so. There's so many great films that are going to be on, and you're going to meet so many great people in terms of that as well. There's some really great panels on Saturday that I'm going to. So definitely check that out as well. With that in mind, we'll see you guys maybe next week. It might be a recorded show just simply because we're doing some Artemis pre-record stuff. But we'll probably be back next week on Wednesday if I'm not hungover or anything like that, if I have a time to sit down and start editing. If not, we'll be back in 2 weeks definitely with hopefully some interviews from the Artemis Film Festival. With that in mind, we'll talk to you guys either next week or a couple weeks. Talk to you soon.